Jeff Franke, Editorial Director of Manufacturing.net and Manufacturing Business Technology. Welcome to Security Breach. Regardless of the report, survey, or research, all data related to industrial cybersecurity makes one thing very clear. The last 2 years have presented a dangerous uptick in the number of cybersecurity attacks and the severity of them. So, if knowing is half the battle, the other half is identifying tools to help accomplish the mission. With this in mind, we welcome David Nussbaum, Platform Solutions Lead at UL, the well-known leader in global safety certification. Presented with the frightening increase in the number of cyber attacks, the organization recently launched the CyberSafe platform to help organizations improve the cybersecurity of connected products throughout the entire lifecycle. This includes identifying current and future vulnerabilities and providing guidance to some of the obstacles currently preventing these issues from being addressed. David, thanks so much for joining us today. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about for a while as it relates to the industrial sector and cybersecurity is a lot of these security concerns that come from connected devices. And it just seems like it's been going on for a while. What do you think is making this, is preserving this as sort of an ongoing issue with connected devices and cybersecurity concerns?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. I would start with the massive opportunity that are connected devices for industrial players, because at the end of the day, it unlocks so many business models and opportunities, right? But with the convenience of use comes trade-offs, including security, right? So, well, why is that still the case that, you know, there are security concerns? I think we can look at mostly the fact that security has always been an afterthought when it comes to product development and essentially having speed to market always being favored in the priority, right, for device manufacturers and suppliers, and essentially security being just relegated at the back. So essentially, I think that's the main reason why, and we're paying the price today, you know, with all these attacks that we, you know, that have made the news. To add it all up, lack of budgets for security teams and also a lack of expertise is leading to that state, right? But I think what's interesting is seeing the change in momentum, the shift in momentum when it comes to some of the demand drivers that have been emerging. You can see that there has been upcoming regulations being adopted, policies being adopted by governments in countries, and I'm going to be mentioning the U.S. with the executive order from President Biden in May last year, essentially asking device manufacturers and suppliers to provide, you know, transparency when it comes to the software bill of materials from these devices, and well, for all these players working for the government, providing devices for the government, ultimately that's a real stand that the government, the U.S. government took, and essentially creating a ripple effect across all connected device stakeholders, from chip to cloud.
No, it makes sense. David, can you tell us a little bit about the UL's Safe Cyber platform that you guys are developing? How did you get involved? What was sort of the antithesis for it? If there was more than just this onslaught of new bad activity that's been going on, and some of the things that you've learned along the way.
When working with customers and taking them through the journey of evaluating their devices, verifying, certifying them, then we realize that there's a massive opportunity when it comes to actually help them balance the speed to market along with security and compliance elements. And at the end of the day, what we looked at was how we could actually support our clients earlier in their journey so they could embed security by design, right? So not only at the moment they would want to start testing and verifying or certifying their devices, but much before that. And this is how the Safe Cyber idea materialized. And essentially, we want Safe Cyber to be this digital security platform, hosting a wide suite of security solutions that is going to help democratize connected product security and IoT security. So essentially guiding device manufacturers, suppliers, system integrators in this journey of embedding security by design through a mix of digitally enabled security solutions, right? And when you look at what we're offering today through Safe Cyber, well, you have the ability to assess the maturity of your security processes and governance with the solution that we call Maturity Path. And essentially, you can either take a self-assessment to see where you're missing the mark and what you need to improve, or get UL to support you along the way, right? To get this security maturity figured out. And then obviously, we also provide solutions on the testing front, on the firmware security testing front, firmware check and field monitoring. And this is simply enabling our customers to figure out where they stand when it comes to the security of their firmware implementations. So helping them getting a security and compliance check on whatever they're developing, be it with components coming from suppliers that they've included in their overall implementation, or things that they would have developed in-house, right? So essentially, the big picture is all about providing an end-to-end security solution packaged onto the Safe Cyber platform with this flurry of solutions that we put at the disposal of our customers. Whenever we get to learn more about something, we tend to be less scared as well, right? So at the end of the day, it all comes down to making sure we are committed to further educating this audience, and essentially show them that it's not only about tactical approaches and actions when it comes to dealing with security issues. It's also about the bigger picture and taking a step back. We need to look at this from the stand of, okay, what am I doing in terms of the governance that is set in place? Do I have the right training, security training in place, and the right awareness in place so that some of those potential risks and issues can be avoided? And then obviously on the product development lifecycle, looking at things such as, okay, am I doing the right things when it comes to threat models? Am I looking at anticipating proactively some of the vulnerabilities that we could be exposed against? All of that, it takes a lot of education. And I believe that a solution like Safe Cyber, but also when it comes to our experts, we can be huge advocates for that and move this cause. Yeah.
Absolutely. Makes sense. You know, I know getting a little bit off topic, but you did mention up sort of security models and different internal strategies that need to be in place. I have to ask, when it comes to one of the biggest issues for manufacturers, and it's ransomware attacks, what's your take on that? We've heard a lot of people go either way in terms of, do you pay the ransom? Do you not pay it? What are your thoughts?
Well, to be fully honest with you, no matter what my thoughts are, it's irrelevant. Because at the end of the day, it's always about a lot of factors and a lot of elements that are not in my possession to be able to speak on behalf of a lot of folks out there. I think it's rather about what is made to potentially prevent some of these attacks. And if it happens, because it could happen, what are the actions taken, right? So at the end of the day, in order to prevent those ransomware attacks, or at least try, what do you do? You would want a good and solid endpoint security solution, right? And an endpoint detection response solution as well. That is if you have the means to afford such a solution. But again, looking back at the governance and processes that you have in place, do you have a program that could help you prevent phishing attacks, for example? Because as we know, a lot of ransomware attacks are coming from those, right? So yeah, it's all about educating the staff and not only the IT folks, right? Obviously, when it comes to being exposed to that kind of risk and those phishing emails. Then we also need to look at the patching of unknown vulnerabilities of 0 days, right? Is it constantly done? There's a process that needs to be put in place to make sure that, at least when it comes to that, updates and patches are done immediately or as fast as possible.
David, kind of wrapping up here, we've talked about a lot of different things. You brought up phishing attacks that are becoming more and more prevalent in the industrial sector. When we look at 2022, and we look at different things from a vulnerability perspective or different prevention strategies, what do you think are going to be the big trends as we continue through the year relating to cybersecurity in the industrial sector?
Well, on that front, I'm thinking of the traction that software bill of materials is getting among industrial players, right? Especially when you look at one of the regulations that I mentioned, the executive order from last year in the U.S., essentially asking organizations to come up with those software bill of materials to show transparency. I believe that the transparency of the supply chain, holding suppliers accountable when it comes to having an inventory of what's in those components and what's in the final product, that's going to be one of the biggest things to look for this year. And essentially, when you look at the SBOM itself, it's also about the way you're going to be managing it, the way you're going to be distributing it to the right asset owners or asset managers, and also look at the security implications around that. Right? You would not necessarily want to share your software bill of materials with anyone out there. So how do you get to do that? But I think, yes, so supply chain transparency through SBOMs, I see this as a big trend. And the other one, when it comes to endpoint security, I'm also seeing a more adoption when it comes to AI powered tools, because essentially that's part of the answer when it comes to the lack of manpower on the cybersecurity front.
Makes a lot of sense. For more information on the work that David and the rest of the folks at UL are doing on this front, as well as a number of other areas, you can check them out at www.ul.com. David, thanks so much for joining us. A lot of great information. Really appreciate the input. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for joining us. To catch up on past episodes, you can go to manufacturing.net, IEN.com, or MBTMag.com. For David Nussbaum, I'm Jeff Ranke. And this is Security Breach.